Our papa is in the house.
Glory. Somebody shout hallelujah. Good morning, everybody. Father, thank you for grace, mercy, and Jesus. Thank you for the privilege of learning and growing. Revelation knowledge is gifted everybody in this class today. And we rejoice that throughout today we will have such a wonderful time of learning and growing. We give you praise. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, you can be seated this morning. Praise God. Are you happy? Amen. Man. What kind of rain is this one, man? Showers of blessing, right? There's been some rain, man. It's been raining like 3 o'clock since 3 a.m. Huh? Cats and dogs, man. It rained cats and dogs last night. Animals were falling from the sky. Glory to God. Are you enjoying yourselves in this class? I'm happy you're enjoying yourselves. It's stretching some of you, though, but it's good for you. Because sometimes when you come to church in the evening and I look at some of you, I feel like saying, lie down and sleep. If you are sleeping here, just sleep. Just start sleeping now. Start sleeping. So you don't hear what I didn't say. Half asleep, half awake. You are hearing things in the dream and hearing things that I'm saying. You combine all and produce a bad product. So just sleep. I'll know that it was a dream. Praise God. All right. Enjoying all your teachers? You're enjoying all your teachers? Can you celebrate them? I've been here since. I was just waiting for all of you to settle in properly. The flood is so serious. I hear them, Dr. Gabriel cannot even come out. The flood has kept them in prison. We need the spirit of Noah to go and preach to them. Noah's ark. I don't know why they didn't enter the ark. Oh. May I enter the ark? Where did I stop now before I gist you guys and my time will finish? We stopped somewhere last week. I wasn't here on Tuesday. I was supposed to be in class on Tuesday. But I couldn't come. But I'm here today. So where did we stop? You guys have forgotten me so fast. Where did we stop? 2 Timothy 2:15. The things that I was heard. What did I say before that? Second Timothy 3:14. Stomach. But continue thou in the things which thou hast heard and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. So Timothy was to continue in the things he has learned. Question, learned from who? 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. The things he heard, the things he learned from Paul. The things he heard and the things he learned from Paul. So he was to commit the very same things to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So the Bible teacher must be trained in how to interpret the text of the books of the Bible. As we have seen from Paul's words, it is a function of faithfulness and a function of diligence. that brings forth disability. Did I say that last week? Why am I still repeating it? That's where I stopped. It is pertinent to note that lack of this training is what has brought about many false teachings and many false practices in the body of Christ. This has caused errors, divisions, denominations. I said that. Having seen that Jesus taught from the Old Testament text, did I say that? Okay. With his apostles following suit with the same pattern, it will therefore mean that a safe way to properly explain the office of the pastor will also be to take the same approach. The way Jesus taught, the way the apostles taught, if we're going to explain the office of a pastor, the office of a pastor will have to take the same pattern. That's what we call apostolic Christianity. It will take the pattern of Jesus and the pattern of the apostles. Where they began from Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now, that term is often used to describe the care, the guidance, and the nurturing. The care, the guidance, and the nurturing that the pastor provides. That term is used to describe the care, the nurturing that the pastor provides, and the guidance. Jesus was also called a good shepherd. Jesus was also called a good shepherd. John 10:11-12. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. 13 and 14. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and care not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known of mine. John chapter 10. I just read from verse 11 to 14. So knowing Jesus' pattern of teaching, Jesus will no doubt have pointed their attention to texts in the Old Testament. He kept pointing his disciples to the Old Testament books and the texts of the Old Testament. And that is where he got the term shepherd, shepherdhood. And it's important for you to understand that many people in Jesus' audience were shepherds. It was one of the most celebrated professions in the Old Testament among the Jews. Even till today, some of the richest people in the world are shepherds. Herders. Herders. And they are some of the most celebrated businesses today. Herders, shepherds who take care of sheep, both among the Jews, even in Africa here. Herders. And in Jesus' day, it was a very prominent profession. The first person in the Bible who was a keeper of sheep was Abel. Abel, not my own. The one that Cain killed. Genesis chapter 4 verse 2, and she again bore his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And we can see that Abel's faith was reckoned to him for righteousness. In Ezekiel chapter 34, Ezekiel teaches David's shepherd as a prophetic initiation of God's shepherdhood. In Ezekiel 34, Ezekiel takes time to explain to us David's shepherdhood, because David was a shepherd. As will be seen and explained by Christ. In Ezekiel 34 verse 2, he says, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks?" And if you know, Israel as a nation is often referred to as God's flock. God's flock and God's sheep. You can read Ezekiel 34, 12 to 15. The book of Psalms also provide material that affirm God's role as a shepherd in Christ Jesus. God is also a shepherd in Christ Jesus. Psalm 95 verse 7. "For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice." Psalm 95 verse 7. The latter part of Psalm 95 highlights Moses' ministry as shepherd of Israel. It highlights Moses' ministry as shepherd of Israel in his attempt to persuade the children of Israel to have faith in Christ. Because they were in continual unbelief. You can see the way David spoke about it in Psalm 95 verse 8 and 9 and 10 and 11. So Psalm 95, 8 to 11. And the writer of the book of Hebrews did a lot of emphasis on that. Hebrews chapter 3 from verses number 5 to 19. Dealing with the unbelief of Israel that are supposed to be God's sheep. Then Psalm 100 verse 3. "We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." Why? Because the writer of Hebrews wants us to see Jesus as the great shepherd of the sheep. Psalm 23 verse 1. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Hebrews chapter 13 verse 20. "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant." So Jesus therefore has purchased to himself his sheep by his death and burial. That's why believers are called sheep, because Jesus is the shepherd of the church. And you can see how Jesus reinforced it when he was talking to Peter in John chapter 21. "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than this? Feed my sheep." That's to establish the relationship between God and the church. God being the shepherd, the church being the sheep. It appears from the scripture where we just read in John 21, where he's telling Peter to feed his sheep, Jesus commits the feeding of his sheep to Peter. The feeding of his sheep to Peter. A responsibility that we see Peter discharging in the book of Acts. John 21, 14 to 17. Feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. John 21, 14 to 17. So we can safely say that the primary responsibility of any shepherd is to feed the sheep. Primarily, feed my sheep. The fact that Jesus said that to Peter three times, feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. Which means that is the core of pastoral responsibility, Bible teaching. And the proof of a shepherd's love is shown in how he feeds the flock. The way a man of God spends time to feed the flock is a reflection of how much he loves God. So the book of Acts provides sufficient proof. Peter became very prominent in the book of Acts because he was given the responsibility to feed the sheep. In Acts chapter 1 from verse 13 to 15. Right up to 26. Right up to verse 26. That pattern is seen again in Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost, where Peter was the one that preached. Acts 2:16. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, hearken to my words. That pattern was seen prominently up until Acts chapter 12, where Peter was the one always speaking, until he was under persecution and flew from Jerusalem. So he flee to Jerusalem. So Jesus said, feed my sheep. You would think it was just temporal, but you can see that Peter took that to heart and it became the core of his ministry. Because in 1 Peter chapter 1, chapter 5 verse 1, he was still talking about feeding the sheep. Not as being lords over God's heritage, but as being shepherds, servants, to feed the flock of God which he purchased with his own blood. So Peter was involved in pastoring. Somebody read for me 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 to 3.
I, who am fellow herder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a particle of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And the chief shepherd appears, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So some salient facts you must not miss. Number one, Jesus is the chief shepherd. Jesus is the chief shepherd, and every under shepherd working for Jesus will stand before him on the day of judgment. Every under shepherd will stand before Jesus. Like I always say, many pastors don't know that we shall see Jesus one day. Number two, a shepherd is a witness of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that shall follow. He's a witness of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that will follow. Number three, the shepherd exercises oversight. Number three, the shepherd exercises oversight. To the flock by feeding them his word. To the flock by feeding them his word. Let me go over the list. Number one, Jesus is the chief shepherd, and every under shepherd will stand before him in judgment. Number two, the shepherd is a witness of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that shall follow. Number three, the shepherd exercises oversight to the flock by feeding them his word. Number four, the shepherd is an elder. He can also have other elders that help him discharge the charge of the chief shepherd. Number five, the shepherd is an exemplary office. The sheep follows the example of the shepherd. Glory to God. The shepherd is an elder. He can also have other shepherds or elders that help him discharge the charge of the good shepherd. Then the shepherd is an exemplary office. The sheep follows his example. So that's how we introduce the office of the shepherd or the office of the pastor. That's how we introduce the office to God. If you found the first thing we did was to deal with the diet, the message that a shepherd or a pastor is supposed to preach. So a pastor's office is defined by the message he preaches. A pastor's office is defined by the message he preaches. If a pastor doesn't know the message, he is not fit to stand behind the pulpit. So before we talk about the office of the pastor, the first thing we have to deal with is sound doctrine, the diet, how to excavate scriptures and arrive at the message of the Christ. Because a shepherd is a witness of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that will follow. Responsibility is to feed the sheep with that message. Is it getting clear? See. And any man of God that is not found doing that, it's a matter of time. He will be exposed. And once he's exposed, people will not have a reason to want to sit under him to be pastor. See that? I say, you see that? And that's what's happening. In my entire life, I never dreamt I would be alive to see the kind of commotion that is going on. I've never seen this kind of thing before. I've never. It's not planned. All we want is for people to hear the message. That's all. But what has come along with it? You know, some pastors think we're just looking forward to disgrace them. No. It's natural. Not doing your job, and somebody who is doing his job comes to where you are, you will be exposed. It's natural. We don't have to try to attack you. You will be naturally attacked. You will be what? Yes. Once you put light on, what happens to darkness? It's naturally attacked. So that's why if you're in ministry, you must stick to the message. Stick to the message. Never cut corners. Never think nobody is hearing me. Light will follow you to where you are. Light will follow you. Light will follow you to where you are. So that's why the first thing that defines the office of a pastor is that's the first thing. It's not even the title or standing before people. Do you know the message? Do you know the message? Because if you don't know the message, if they call you pastor, it's a mockery. It's like calling the medical doctor who is a native doctor. You understand? You know, there's a difference between native doctor and herbalist.
Yes, yes.
You know, they are not the same. Some people are looking at me. They are not the same. You know, native doctors are the people selling soap. All that is what? Flour, cocoa. Those are native doctors. You understand? Do your concoction yourself. But the point I'm making is, so for you to be a pastor, a man of God, and you know, pastoring doesn't have to be with pastoring a big church. The moment you're overseeing the spiritual growth of two or three people, now you don't have to be a pastor. You understand? Once you oversee people's site, you check the note, comprehensive, or this is not how they write notes. Then you collect it and show him how to write notes. All that is what is work. You over. Goes right into oversight. Glory to God. It goes right into what? Disciple conduct. Right to have. or members of your delivery. Even then, if you give times. There's something
of Jesus, that body of sex who sleep arose. So the question is, was David not was he was talking about
he was, but Peter was making reference to the Old Testament books.
Thank you.
Is it clear?
That does it for me.
He was making reference. He wasn't speaking as of now, but he was making reference to the scriptures.
Thank you, sir.
Bless you.
Thank
you.
Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning.
Thank you for the opportunity. Pastor, you said that, you said, I'm proving from the scripture, that God was never involved in burnt offering.
Yes.
And it was never his idea.
Yes.
So how do we reconcile with the case of Mount Moriah, that God himself had to provide the sacrifice instead of Isaac? God was never involved in the sacrifice and he never initiated. So how do we reconcile with that scenario?
Okay, so if you followed the teaching of Mount Moriah, did you follow that evening teaching that I did?
Yes, sir.
You followed, right?
Yes, sir.
So if you follow the teaching of Mount Moriah, Isaac and Abraham was not God's instruction. Abraham was teaching Isaac what he, Abraham, foresaw. So they were doing Bible study in an illustration. So Abraham said to Isaac, let's go and worship. So as they began the journey, Isaac started asking questions because it was Bible study. And Abraham was telling Isaac, on Mount Moriah, the ram shall be seen. We don't have to take an animal. Because Isaac was asking Abraham, okay, if we're going to worship, where's the animal? He said, no, the Lord will be the sacrifice. God never asked you for sacrifice because God wants to be your sacrifice.
Okay.
So that's why there was no animal. And when they got to Mount Moriah, Isaac was not the sacrifice.
Yeah.
Jesus was the sacrifice.
Yet, Pastor, I understand, like, it was recorded that it was God himself, like, that gave that animal to stand instead of
that animal is Jesus now.
But my question now is, God never initiates that, like he was never in it.
He never initiated for you to give him a sacrifice. He doesn't need you to give him a sacrifice because he himself is the sacrifice.
I'm still not clear. He provided himself. He provided himself. God like, has, my question is that God, why did he give
God life? Has no delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices. See, come now. You will understand. Just follow me. Was it because Abraham offered Isaac that Abraham was righteous? Was he righteous before he offered Isaac? So why is he trying to offer Isaac? Okay, so was it because Abel offered an animal that he was righteous? Why was he righteous? So why then did he offer animal? Part of the assumption. So in the Old Testament, because they were used to worshiping deities, okay, and they felt guilty for their sins, they believed that God was angry. So they were bringing animals to appease God. But God was not angry. So God didn't need the animals.
Yeah, thank you, Pastor.
So God himself offered Jesus on your behalf. He doesn't want you to offer. He wants to be your sacrifice. Where you offer, it is works. Where he offers, it is grace.
Thank you, sir.
Is it clear?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you sure?
Pastor, we shall.
It has to be clear so that you can teach others. Bless you. Yes.
Oh, thank you, sir, for this opportunity, yeah. Sir. I've always had this question in mind, even though the last time you came, you talked about it, about the fact that we are meant to stay with the message of the pastor. Talking about we do not get to listen to any other person, that you stay with the shepherd's message according to your teaching. And I have this disciple of mine, well, I once had him anyway. He was talking about the fact that that if he had stayed with listening to his pastor's message, he wouldn't have come to the knowledge of Christ anyway. In his full measure. So I kept explaining the scriptures to him, and he will keep on bringing scriptures that do not even tally. Like there's a particular one that we prophesy in part and we know in part, and saying if you stay with one preacher or you stay with one person, you'll be limited with the knowledge he has.
He is used to prostitution. How can you tell a prostitute to stop prostitution? It's difficult. He's used to being a prostitute, spiritual prostitute. So it can never make sense for him to stay with one person after he's exposed to sleeping with more people. It doesn't make sense again. It's part of training. If he was used to sleeping with only one person, he will not think of sleeping with more people. So spiritual prostitution has destroyed him. It will take a lot of discipline to put him together. And such a person will have HIV without knowing where. Because when you sleep around too much, you won't know where the disease came from. Did you get that physical illustration? Eh? That's why the Lord is my shepherd, not my shepherds, my shepherd. And if the Lord is your shepherd, he now puts you under one under shepherd to pastor you. He doesn't put you under shepherds. He puts you under one. Do you understand? Yes. Then if the shepherd is not feeding you right, God will find a way of bringing you out of that place to a better place. But you don't look for, because it will make you a prostitute. Is it clear?
Thank you, Daddy.
Bless you.
I'm so grateful. My life has been transformed. And I now discover that We are not called to preach faith or prosperity. Now we are called to preach the message of Christ.
Yep.
So, but my problem is right now that because for the past years, we've been in this maybe that prophetic ministry. So now that
moreover, let me just help you one more thing. That scripture, you know, in parts, it has nothing to do with doctrine. Knowing in part is the gifts of the Spirit, in the operation of the gifts of the Spirit. Like I'm looking at you and I don't know what you're thinking. But if that gift begins to work now, I will know what you're thinking. So because of that, I know in part. But when it comes to Bible doctrine, we don't know in part. That's why it's called epignosis. Epignosis means total knowledge, not half. So we know in part in gifts of the Spirit. But in Bible teaching, all knowledge has been demystified in Christ. Is it clear? All right.
Thank you, sir. I wanted to throw more light on these scriptures. In John chapter 9, the way Jesus from 1, Jesus used the clay and saliva to heal the blind. Because it's a very big problem with me now, with other pastors. Now that I've been transformed, we don't do such thing anymore. So, and then the secondly, Acts of Apostles chapter 19, verse number 12 or so, where Paul used an apron, you know, from his body to heal the sick.
So if you observe carefully, because that's what you're asking now, is charismatic ministry. How do we operate charismatic ministry? If you observe very well, when it comes to Bible teaching, you don't build a practice on one scripture. How many times did Jesus use clay?
Only once.
So that's not a doctrine. How many times did the people bring handkerchief to touch Paul? It wasn't Paul that gave them. They brought their cloth and touched his body. How many times?
Once.
How many times did Peter's shadow heal the sick?
Once.
So one. That's no doctrine. It's like saying, as I was teaching, I touched her. And she was having maybe fever. But as I touched her mistakenly while I'm teaching, she got healed. I won't go around touching sick people like that. Because that one act doesn't make it doctrine. Do you understand?
Yes.
Or as I was teaching, I carried my handkerchief. And in the course of teaching, as I was just moving like this, I just did like that to him. And the headache disappeared. He won't tell me to be carrying hanky and going around. That's madness. He was at a point where he desperately needed a miracle. And somehow, when I got close to him, sometimes the anointing is transferable. As I got to him, the power of God through this handkerchief hit him and he got healed. That doesn't guarantee that it will happen tomorrow. So this is not a doctrine.
So that we should totally ignore, even when they ask.
That is what we call non-essentials.
Okay.
There is one Bible tells us God heals. He sent his word.
God healed them.
So we speak the word.
Okay, sir.
But that doesn't mean you may not be led tomorrow to touch clay and touch somebody's eye. But that doesn't make it a standard practice.
Okay, sir.
Is it clear? Right. Doesn't make it a practice at all.
Thank you, Daddy.
Bless you.
Good morning, sir.
Morning.
Thank you very much, sir, for exposing me to the light and your word. Papa, I have two thoughts, basically. First is, I was opportune to go out for evangelism, and there's this disciple of mine that is a Muslim. And I've been struggling on getting him to like relate more, because he's always very strict on this thought that Christ is a messenger to him and nothing more.
Yeah, it's a prophet.
It's a prophet. So I wanted to like get more knowledge on how to share light on him, that Christ is also God.
Did you listen to my teaching on Christ being God?
No, sir.
When did I teach that? At the beginning. At the beginning of 30 days, right? You had not come.
Yes.
Go on Facebook, because there's a lot. I did a lot of defense. If you go on Facebook, Pastor Ben, talk with Pastor Ben. He will show you the very message. Okay. And listen to how I explain things. Learn it well, then go and explain to him. It's not a question I can answer right now because of time. There are many scriptures to read. But once you understand that, you can defend it before a Muslim.
Sir.
Is that clear?
Yes,
second one.
Then, Pastor, my second is an advice, and it's a personal question. I would like for you to share an advice on what it would be like, or being a secular artist. Can I still manage the ministry and also be
do you sing secular music?
Very well, sir.
Nothing wrong. Nothing wrong. Nothing wrong with secular music. But make sure your lyrics are not corrupt. Make sure your lyrics are just purely inspirational, motivational, or love. Nothing wrong. All these Christians are pretend. Inside their bedroom, they go and play dumb. They go and play Dumb Williams. Dun 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 dun. Lord, I hope this day is good, and they're enjoying it. But they say, no, don't sing godly music. But they just finish listening to her. Or they enter into a car. How are you, my friend? Is that not a secular music? But can you see the lyrics are clean? It relates to day-to-day life. There's nothing wrong with it.
Thank you very much.
There's nothing wrong with it. And the guy who sang that, how are you, my friend? I hear he's a Holy Ghost tongue-talking brother. There's nothing wrong with it. You can take over from all them Davido and collect all the money and bring it, let's preach the gospel. Nothing wrong.
Thank you very much.
But listen, like I said, you have to make sure you don't compromise. That's where the problem is. Most time the problem is how you're able to discipline yourself, do very good music without compromising. That's where the challenge is. Because especially when money gets involved, then suddenly you have an agent that wants to sign you on, and the agent say, the only way I can sign you on is for you to give me this. Wahala don't start. So when you get in that kind of situation, you have to give up that as consecration because of your faith in Christ. And believe God for an agent that will still allow you to sing what you want to sing. Otherwise, believe God for your own money to make your own music. It's one of the two. But don't compromise no matter what. Don't, because once you start compromising, before you know it, you will go and join Illuminati. Once you compromise one, you will compromise two. Once you compromise two, you will compromise three. Before we turn, we don't even recognize the brother again. So that's where the problem is. So you have to know where your boundaries are, and then stay within your boundaries. And who even told you that gospel music doesn't have money?
No one, sir. Actually, I was signed under someone who wants me to do secular music for commercial purposes. That's why
commercial is good now, like adverts, you know, adverts like Maggie toothpaste. Abby, which other one? Airtel, MTN, Milo, papa. Nothing wrong with all those.
Also, I'm actually also doing the normal secular.
Sure, you can do the secular music, do your commercials. Just, but like I said, make sure it reflects what will not hinder you from preaching the gospel. Make sure. Do your best. There are many opportunities there where people are looking for clean lyrics. People are looking for healthy songs. It's not everybody that wants useless stuff. There are many of us that want healthy lyrics. And it doesn't have to be church. Good morning, Jesus. No. Can be nice, 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 nice. You understand?
Thank you, sir. Eh?
Like characteristics of living things. Some morning when I woke up in the house, that's how I start my day. I'll go to the kitchen and just tell JP. She'll bring a small speaker. It does well. Wanna be starting something? Play. Yeah, boom, 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 boom. We'll all be screaming and shouting in the house, and everybody is happy. 10, 15, 20 minutes, and then I'm out. So, it's nothing wrong with it. Don't be righteous over much. Is that what the Bible says? Is that what the Bible says? Don't be righteous over much. Like somebody say, good morning, say, Langron to soccer. How far? How far? Your own nundi become something else. Clear? Is it very? Yeah.
Thank you so much, sir. Thank you, sir. Greetings. This is a question from online.
Okay.
Yes. Greetings, Papa. Thank you so much for your labor of love. We are truly honored to have you in. Message in the Old Testament was like rejecting a one-time offer. We saw how Esau sought what he rejected with tears. Was Adam's rejection and Esau's, as well as others, persistent unbelief and rejection of the gospel, or was it different in the Old Testament? Because for us now, we have people who reject the gospel but still can believe later as a seed sown in their heart.
Persistent unbelief. Till tomorrow, Satan doesn't want to be born again. Till tomorrow, Satan is not interested. That's why he's called the son of perdition. He has made up his mind eternally. Even if he sees God, he's not moved. Same thing with Cain. Same thing with Esau. That's why he was called a profane person. See the adjective they use in describing him and Satan. Satan is son of perdition. In the sense that Satan doesn't want to ever. That's why when Satan entered Judas, Judas became the son of perdition. So same thing with Esau. Esau was profane. Profane means he has no value for spiritual things. Until tomorrow, he doesn't have that value. So that's why when he sought for it, he couldn't get it, because he wasn't seeking for it because he believes in it. He was seeking for it for selfish reasons. He was not out of faith. Is it clear? Otherwise, in the Old Testament, the gospel kept being preached to them the way it is preached to us today. It wasn't a once off. It was a Noah preached for how many years? And the people still didn't. Children of Israel on the way to the promised land, how many years? And still many of them died in the wilderness because they didn't. Is it clear? Yeah. Even Adam, even at the point of sinning, God told him, the day you eat of it, you shall die. The day you shall die, the day he still ate it. So there are people who just made up their minds. No matter how much you preach, they are not interested. And such people will keep praying and talking until they either die or the trumpet sounds. We don't give up on them. We too were adamant. Even though we know some may never be saved, but we give it our best. Praise the Lord. Any other question? If there's none, stand on your feet. What a day to be alive. Did we start well?
Yes, sir.
Are you happy?
Yes.
Has the cold disappeared?
Yes, sir.
Eh?
Yes.
The cold is still there?
No.
Well, if the cold is still there, enjoy the cold. If it's disappeared, enjoy the disappearance. We look forward to seeing everybody tonight. Glory to God.